You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, your host here, Colt Molesky, bringing you daily Timberwolves content. Make sure to check out the Locked On Wolves fan reg website for posts from Adam King, also prior podcasts on there. Also, make sure to check out my Twitter account, at C Molesky, M-O-L-E-S-K-Y. I'm posting podcasts on there as well as other various sports articles and the Locked On Wolves Twitter page. That's Locked On T-Wolves on Twitter for the Wolves Twitter page that we are running here as well at the Locked On Wolves site. Plenty of news for the offseason here. Plenty of talking to do about the offseason. Absolutely in full swing now. We already have plenty of draft stuff going on, but now that the NBA Finals is over after the Warriors sweep the Cavaliers for the finals, for the third ring for guys like Curry, Klay, and Green in 4 years. Second ring for Durant. And second time that he has been voted the finals MVP back-to-back years for him in both the finals victory and the finals MVP victory. So a really good series for the Warriors, obviously. Really great series from LeBron. Really terrible series from the rest of his teammates. I wanted to take the show in a little bit of a different direction. I wanted to touch on a few things today. So just a rundown of what we'll be doing today. So first, I wanted to talk about the Cavaliers. Now, I know everybody and their mother is going to be talking about LeBron. Where's LeBron going? Where's LeBron going? What's LeBron doing? Where is he going? So I'm going to avoid that. I'm going to skip that entirely. You can listen to other shows for that. I know it's not very good to tell you to go elsewhere for certain content, but you know what? I'm not going to be the stereotypical show. I'm not going to talk about that. I'm going to talk about the rest of the Cleveland Cavaliers roster, what they need to do now that the finals is over, and some possible moves that I see just looking over the roster since the finals have ended. Again, they just started doing some draft-based stuff, now switching gears. They had Colin Sexton for a workout over the weekend. So it looks like they're probably looking for just off the cuff with the comments from LeBron about Trae Young working out Colin Sexton right away after the finals finish. It looks like they're probably thinking point guard right away, but that is just kind of first glance at what they're doing draft-wise. But we're going to get all that. Also, I want to talk about finals MVP and my argument for Curry becoming the finals MVP. And finally, wanted to touch quickly on the Dwayne Casey hiring in Detroit. So if you haven't seen that, talk about that for a little bit at the end of the show as well. But let's get down to brass tacks first in Cleveland. So obviously, right now, we're going to talk about the Cleveland Cavaliers roster, and I'm just going to assume that LeBron is not coming back. So with that assumption, LeBron is not coming back. Now, that's an assumption. I realize that, but we're just going with that assumption for the rest of this Cavaliers conversation. So with that assumption, you have Kevin Love, George Hill, Tristan Thompson, J.R. Smith, Jordan Clarkson, Kyle Korver, and those are the big names. Those are the ones I want to get to. Those guys are the ones. Now you have Kevin Love, you have his bird rights in the third year, but the rest of those guys you have fully under contract for the next 3 years, and obviously Kevin Love fully under contract for the next two, bird rights for the third. So that's going to be, barring any trades, that's going to be your team in 2019-2020. Now you have Rodney Hood. He is going to be a free agent. You have guys like Calderon, Jeff Green, free agents right there. Larry Nance is only going to be around. He is under contract for the next 2 years on his rookie deal. And then you have Zizek, who was acquired from the Celtics. You can pick up his options after his rookie deal is expired in 2019-20, 2020-21. And so the Cavaliers need to do a few things. So first of all, if you're looking at the contracts, Kevin Love, I'm fine paying him 22-24 over the next couple of years. George Hill, 2019-18, not great. Tristan Thompson, 16-17-18, definitely not great. J.R. Smith, 13, 14, 15. Clarkson, 11, 12, 13. Kyle Korver, 7, 7, 7. Kyle Korver, actually, with Kevin Love, probably the two best contracts they have on the books right now, just as far as value. I know that Kevin Love maybe wasn't the, didn't have the greatest finals, but he had pretty solid playoffs and was a pretty solid starter for them throughout the season, especially for comparative to what they have on the roster and what they're paying some of these guys on the roster and what they actually produced on the court. Kyle Korver looks like a steal when you're paying $11 million for Jordan Clarkson. We'll just put it that way. So you got those guys. Those Kevin Love and Kyle Korver, I don't see those guys moving. I think you keep you hold on to those guys, especially since we're working on the assumption that LeBron James is leaving. You want a guy like Kevin Love to grab young talent to build around. You want a guy like Kevin Love still there because that'll help if you're telling free agents to come. You're saying, look, we're starting a new era. We've got an all-star in Kevin Love. We've got a couple pieces here. We've got some young talent there. And this is why you should join up, because now you're going to be part of the next era of Cleveland basketball. Without Kevin Love, you're totally committing to the full rebuild. So I think that if you keep Kevin Love there, you're helping not only your free agency, you're also putting some guys, some young guys in a position where they can stub their toe a little bit in some of those games, and hopefully, as long as he can stay healthy, that might be a bigger if than some people are willing to take a swing on. But if you can stay healthy, you have an all-star there, still there to try and pick up some of that slack. So I think you keep Kevin Love. Kyle Korver, like I said, really solid bargain there for his contract. I think you keep him. Now, I think you do want to try and move pieces. They're going to be hard. They're going to be hard to move around. But you do want to move pieces like George Hill, Tristan Thompson, J.R. Smith. You probably are stuck in his contract. I don't think there's a way around that one. Just because J.R. Smith really is such a streaky player. He's the same age at 32 as George Hill, but George Hill, you can at least run some offense through. I think you can sell him because you can sell his assists. You can sell a little more consistency with George Hill. It's going to be a lot harder to sell J.R. Smith. Jordan Clarkson is another guy, 26. I definitely think there's teams that will take a chance on him. I don't like Jordan Clarkson very much at all, just as far as, I'm sure he's a nice guy, but just as far as his play on the court, I don't like what he gives the Cavaliers. I don't like what he gives most teams, but especially the Cavaliers, who need a guy who can really inject offense immediately off the bench. I just don't think he's that guy, and I'm not sure what kind of guy he is necessarily for given rosters, but I think at 26, when you're not playing a ridiculous amount for him, I think you can trade him this summer, and a team would buy into the idea of having two more years relatively cheap with Jordan Clarkson to try and see if they can actually get him somewhere close to a better ceiling. So I think you can trade Jordan Clarkson. I think there's a way you're going to get shellacked on it, but I think you can get rid of George Hill in that contract. Tristan Thompson is another one. I think you can get rid of him. I think you're going to have to attach something with him, maybe a future pick. But I think you could get rid of Tristan Thompson just because he did have a fairly – he had an okay finals, especially compared to the bulk of his playoff performances. And so I think you can sell that. I think you can sell that he's a bigger guy who can play that center role, but you can move a lot of guards around him. He can play a little faster than maybe a guy like Mozgov or something. You can hopefully kind of sell him to play that role that you saw JaVale McGee play in the finals a lot, where he's going to play off of shooters. And that's where you try and sell him. And he did do a great job in the finals. There was a couple games. There was some stints where he was really aggressive on the offensive boards particularly. And I think that's where you really try and sell him if you're trying to trade him, is he's going to be a guy who can get out there. And if you really get him in the right spot, he's going to be a guy who can grab a lot of offensive boards. Again, it's not great. A lot of these sale pitches, honestly, you're either selling old guys in not great contracts, or you're selling some young guys who you're going to have to hope fit into your system, and you're going to have to take a little bit of a flyer on. Tristan Thompson, 27 years old, you're paying a lot of money for him, but you're betting that a team thinks that they can turn him around a little bit and get something different from him than the Cavs were able to get from him last year and this year. So it's going to be tough, but you gotta try and move these pieces. Now, the first team that came to mind when I'm moving a guy like Jordan Clarkson, I was thinking Atlanta. If you can move Jordan Clarkson to Atlanta, they have a little bit of wiggle room on the cap. You can sell that he's a young guy. You're building some pieces. You got some young pieces. You can get an explosive offensive guy in Jordan Clarkson on a fairly decent contract there, and maybe get like an early second round pick back from the Atlanta Hawks in this draft. That way, you're not only getting some young talent, some fresh legs in that Cleveland roster, but you're also getting rid of Jordan Clarkson's contract, freeing up a little cap space and replacing it with a rookie contract. So that's the move I think that the Cavaliers should try right out the gate. Again, George Hill, Tristan Thompson, those are going to be harder guys to move around. But I think if you package them with a future pick, now you have two picks coming in this year. It helps you out at least this year, and you have guys like Kyle Korver, Kevin Love around for a couple seasons. So if you don't have any picks or like one second round pick in next year's draft, I think you're going to be okay as long as you're grabbing a couple picks. They have that nice high lottery pick this year, that eighth pick. So I think that you're going to be okay giving up some picks next year if you're grabbing another pick this year and getting some extra talent. Those are kind of the things I'm looking at for the Cavaliers roster right out the gate. Again, you really do have to move Tristan Thompson if you are the Cavaliers. You really do have to move George Hill if you're the Cavaliers. These guys are just they're older guys, and if LeBron is going to be out, you really need to move this roster younger. And I know that Kyle Korver's a young guy or an older guy, 37 years old, but he is on a great deal, so I think I'd be fine keeping him. Kevin Love is still only 29 years old, and I think that J.R. Smith is going to be one of those guys that you're probably not going to move. So Tristan Thompson, George Hill, those are the guys you move. Jordan Clarkson, I think you can get him to Atlanta for a pick. And I think that if you're the Cavaliers, I really do think that you try and draft a guy like Colin Sexton, a guy like Trae Young, even Gilchrist, excuse me, out of Kentucky, the point guard of Kentucky, a guy like him, maybe going for a little more defense there. But I think in that lottery, you really do try and go for a point guard. You saw how well their offense worked. Again, LeBron James was on the roster at this time, so maybe a little bit of that was, or more than a little bit of that was LeBron helping him. But it really does, the Cavaliers really do need a vicious point guard like Kyrie on the roster, and you see that work. You see that system work really well for them, and I think that if they can get back to that, if they can get a star point guard again, I think that that would really help their roster. I think that that would really help a lot of the things that they like to do, especially shooting the ball on offense, the three-point shooting, the kind of shots they like to create. I think that if we're going under the assumption that LeBron James is going to be off the roster, then you can hope that Kevin Love can get back to more of that shooting from the elbow that you saw him take, or you saw him take on in Minnesota with the Timberwolves. I think he gets back to that more with LeBron off the team, and then you have an explosive point guard with that. I think that that could really work in their offense, so that's what they try and target for their eighth pick. So coming out of the finals, that's why I expect from the Cleveland Cavaliers, those are kind of things I expect them to do. Some of the stuff I think they're going to go for, some of the stuff they're going to try to do, coming out of that nasty, getting swept in the finals feeling. So before we talk about the Warriors, before we talk about the MVP for the finals, we're going to get to a quick break for some sponsors. Talking about the teams in the finals, just talking about the Cavaliers, what I expect them to do in free agency, what I expect them to do kind of head towards the draft. Just a little talk about that. Didn't talk about LeBron James at all because I assume that you are already getting berated with plenty of LeBron James conversation. Now, turning our eye towards the Warriors, want to talk about the finals MVP. Obviously, Kevin Durant, finals MVP for the second straight year, has won a ring and a finals MVP the last two seasons. He posted 28.8 points per game. Now, this is all in the finals. 28.8 points per game, 10.8 rebounds, 7.5 assists, and 2.3 blocks. Very nice stats. Shooting 40% from three. He shot 42% from the field. Very efficient basketball from Durant. really great, especially the third and fourth games when he had the triple-double in the fourth game. And that third game where he was really – Curry was shooting 1-for-10 from three, and Durant had that really great game, had the 43 points. That was kind of the game that probably turned the tide on Curry, especially after he had the just phenomenal game – sending in finals record with 9 three-pointers made, 33 points, 29 points in game one, and then you saw him with the 11 points, and then the huge game from Durant to win that game three. I think that kind of turned the tide on Curry, but then he came back right away with 37 points and the three steals, three blocks as well. Impressive stuff from Curry in that game four. So this is my argument for Curry for the finals MVP. Here's my argument for him. And it namely is, I know that Durant had the triple-double, which is always really hard to do in the finals, no matter how bad the Cleveland team you're playing against is. In game four, Durant with the triple-double. I'm still going to say this. Curry, he was the best offensive player on the Warriors, maybe even in that series. And I think he should have gotten finals MVP for it. So let's look at some numbers here. So he took over 13 threes a game and managed 41% shooting from three-point land. Shot 40% from the field and got to the free throw line every once in a while with 3.5 free throw attempts per game. Shot 100% from the three free throw line. He also posted 6.8 assists. And here's, I'm going to get to why that's important in a second. He had 1.5 steals per game and averaged 27.5 points. Now, I know assists, points, both lower than Durant. He did get them in steals, and he had a crazy that he got three blocks in game four. I didn't realize, I remember the two, but I didn't realize that he got three blocks in game four, but he also averaged 6 rebounds per game. Here's why I think he was the most important offensive piece. So, first of all, in the first two games, he was lighting the Cavaliers up from three-point land. He shot 52% when he set the record in game two, shot 45% in game one, lighting them up from three-point range. He had the inefficient game from Durant in that game one, kind of compensated for by Curry's 45% shooting from three and 47% shooting from the field in that game one. Not only is he doing all this, but he's also getting plenty of assists in those first two games. So he really was the offense in those first two games. He had 9 assists in game one, 8 assists in game two when he set the record. He was doing everything offensively for the Warriors, and he really was the biggest piece in those first two games. Again, a down game in that game three with 11 points, and he shot 3-for-16 from the field. But he also did get 6 assists, and he grabbed a steal. He's still helping out, 5 rebounds. He's still doing things. And here's why this is extra impressive. Durant, and you saw Green take this on a couple years ago where he was just going to commit to doing everything and not worry about the scoring. He's going to get the rebounds, he's going to get the assists, and you saw him do that again in this series. He's going to get the rebounds, he's going to get the assists, he's going to facilitate a ton. Durant kind of molded into that a little bit too. You saw him really take on the scoring, really become a cutthroat scorer in that game three, but overall in this series, you saw him really take on a lot of the rebounding, become tougher on the glass. You saw him do a lot assist-wise, making sure he's making that extra pass. Well, two guys are doing that on your team. For Curry to not only embody this uber-efficient scorer who's going to shoot really well from outside, and he's also going to take a lot of these crazy threes, going to take deep threes, going to really stretch the floor for his teammates. He opened up stuff a lot just shooting deep from three for Durant from that like 15 to 18 foot range, open a lot of one-on-one matchups because they're not able to really double Durant if you're worried that he's just going to hook it out to Curry from 28 feet back and he's going to sink a three. Open that kind of stuff up for Durant, but he also made sure that he was assisting a ton. He averaged almost 7 assists per game as well. And so Curry wasn't only benefiting from the play of Green, from the play of Durant, but he was also helping those guys benefit from his play. Now, I know it seems easy to say that you're helping all-stars benefit from your play, but he really was the best scorer. If you look at what hurt Cleveland the most, it was the three-point shooting from Curry. Thompson was a great three-point shooter as well, but it was definitely Curry who was really destroying the Cavaliers from three-point range. And you saw him, there was plenty of times, especially early on this series, where he was getting buckets and he was turning the tide of these games, especially in the third quarter. He comes out and he's sinking threes and he's turning the tide on a LeBron James-led team that was desperately trying to get back into some of these games, especially that game one when LeBron drops 51 points. You see Curry make some really crucial threes, and he shoots 45% from three-point land. That's really important when you have somebody like LeBron on the other side who's just going ballistic and doing everything and playing out of his mind to try and keep a bad team in a game. For Curry to be able to stave off LeBron in those first two games and be able to really hold the Oakland squad in place and keep them ahead of the LeBron James-led Cavs, it was really something special in that first two games, and Durant stole the show in that game three, and so it was all eyes on him in game four, and Curry still managed, he probably had his best defensive performance in the finals in game four, and he paired it with 37 points and shot 46% from three-point land. Another really efficient game for him. Again, only one, everybody's talking about the efficiency of Durant, and he was efficient, don't get me wrong, but Curry was taking a lot more difficult shots, and he was still staying uber efficient throughout that series. Only the one bad game outside of that, really great efficient basketball with a lot more difficult shots, a lot more shots where he's going from way deep. He's going around screens. He's banging off of players that are a lot bigger than him, and he's throwing up these shots, knocking down a ton of them. He was the heart and soul of the offense for the Warriors in three out of four games. And he was still able to add plenty of assists and still able to facilitate, even though he was knocking down almost everything he was throwing up there for three out of four games. That's why he is my MVP for this series, and that's why I would have been fine with him winning the MVP. And I was a little surprised that Durant grabbed it from him, and it really feels like it took one game to steal that from him, and everybody was willing to jump on Durant and leave Curry behind. And I thought that he should have won the MVP, and that's my case for him. Finally, before we head out here, let us look at the Dwayne Casey hiring. So Dwayne Casey, if you haven't seen, it happened just, I think an hour and a half ago, 2 hours ago, something like that, is when the notification from Bleacher Report popped up on my phone. Dwayne Casey hired to a 5-year contract for the Detroit Pistons. So here, I really like Dwayne Casey. I think he's a great head coach. He did some great things for the Toronto Raptors. Obviously, they're always making the playoffs. They're always hovering around that 50-win total, so If you can start out by getting some of those things for the Detroit Pistons fan base that has been in a little bit of a purgatory for the last few years, that would obviously be a big win. But here's why I like Dwayne Casey so much for Detroit. I think that Detroit has an opportunity. They have some young guys on their roster right now, and they have an opportunity now in free agency to try and move some pieces. Again, their contracts aren't great. You have guys like Andre Drummond and Blake Griffin to max deals. You're paying a lot for guys like Reggie Jackson. But if you can move some pieces and just try and get some draft picks, I really love that you have now a coach in Dwayne Casey. They haven't had a coach like this in a couple years, but he is so good with young talent, so good with developing these stretch three wing guys on their team. You saw it in Toronto, and I think you can see it again in Detroit. And if he can get some young pieces that he's really going to work with and develop around Blake Griffin, maybe in a couple years this is actually a pretty fun roster to watch, and it's not as grinding and halting as the Detroit Pistons that we've become accustomed to over the last couple of seasons, and he can do some things to make them an actual dangerous team in the East again. But he needs to get young talent, so that's something I'm going to be looking for. Watch out for Detroit. I think they're going to try and make some moves in the next 10 days here before the draft to try and get Dwayne Casey some extra picks, because young talent is where he's really going to be able to change this roster. And developing some young guys, that's where he's really going to be able to make a difference for the Pistons. So look out for that. There we go. That's all I have on the docket, guys. That's all I had to cover today. I hope you enjoyed the Cleveland Cavaliers talk that didn't involve LeBron James and the Warriors talk that didn't really involve Durant a little bit, but mostly arguing for Curry. I hope you enjoyed all of it. Thank you so much for listening to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.